Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
The life of an international man of mystery isn't all it's cracked up to be, thinks the super spy as he super spies himself in the mirror of the bar behind the buxom bartend dress while scanning for enemies and ordering a wildly specific bourbon. Sure, there's a lady in every port and a port in every after-dinner toast and a toast in every breakfast menu, but it's quite hard to meet people, and also there's quite a lot of killing people you just met, and then admin is a bitch. He quaffs his bourbon and flirts half-heartedly with the bar girl as she tries and fails to poison his next drink. Insurance premiums keep going up, and it's surprising how much his knees hurt after a working lifetime of diving away from explosions. Surely there's something more to life, he thinks, flicking a fiver into the tip jar and a tranquilizer dart into the unmissable bosom of, was it Sally? God knows. Treacherous and bosomy bar staff are a dime a dozen. Surely there's a better life somewhere. Surely he could one day do something more fulfilling. Like listening to The Gargle. Welcome to The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for visual world. All of the news, none of the politics. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Tiff Stevenson.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. It's such a pleasure to see you. And John Luke Roberts.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello.
Well, I did also, I was sort of waiting for you to say, oh, it's a real pleasure to see you as well, but you didn't. You just moved straight on.
You do look very pleasurable today, so let's objectify John Luke.
Oh, good. Finally, yes. The tables have turned. I like it.
I always say the tables have turned when I'm at a Yum Cha restaurant and there's a Lazy Susan on. Look, it's a bad joke, but it is mine. But before we sit at the rotating table that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover of this week's magazine. The front cover this week is a picture of the algorithm posing provocatively with I don't know what references are universal anymore. Everyone's following a different choose-your-own-adventure strand of world news. Let's just say it's Seinfeld being loudly offensive about how you can't be offensive anymore. Everyone heard about that, right?
I'm not online as much as I used to be. I think I saw that he was trending. I keep seeing people trending and I'm like, do I even want to go find out what that is?
It's not even, it's one of those things where like, I hate the fact that I like so fiercely immediately had an opinion on it rather than just going, oh, shut up. You're no longer in the conversation. Please stop.
Yes, you have completed your contribution to the conversation.
Yeah.
I like the contribution to the conversation. I do watch it regularly. I go back and watch episodes of Science. It's one of my like little comfort watches.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah. I sort of feel like, as a matter of policy, anyone who makes anything really sort of great and universally acclaimed should immediately shut up forever. And I know there are some people who are great and like their politics are like really wonderful and loving and everything. But I think I'm willing to lose them if it also means that we don't ruin other things by virtue of people who wrote them having shitty opinions. That's my opinion, and I'll stand by it until I do something famous. The satirical cartoon this week is a bunch of students barricading themselves into a university library, two oblivious professors walking past. One is saying, it's nice to see the young people so focused on studying for their exams. I, for one, enjoy when we have big bellwether cultural debates where you can decide your opinion on someone based on their opinion of someone else's opinion on a thing, you know. Oh, the students at Columbia are doing a protest. How do you feel about Scott Galloway's take on the statement made by police? And how you answer will determine how the course of the rest of this first date goes.
Alice, like is that. This political?
It does sound
political. The satirical
political.
Cartoon is... No, satirical cartoon is room for politics in this magazine. And also, you'll note I didn't state an opinion. I just outlined the structure of the current discourse. I didn't come down on either side. Maybe I'm real pro police brutality. You don't know.
Well, I'm making a mark against it for this podcast. I still
Bring
think
the
it's
politics bell, Ped.
Yeah.
I must say, yeah. Alice, maybe I'm pro police brutality. It's one of the strangest openings you've done for the Gargle so far.
New Moon has dropped news now, and this is the news of Earth's new second moon. It's a mini moon. It's the size of the Statue of Liberty. John Luke, you've been mooning about. Can you unpack this story for us?
Look, I can unpack this story, but I wonder whether I have... It turns out I have this story's made me quite angry. So I'm not sure I should be the one to introduce this story. Because the more I read about this story, the less I like this story. And then more and more, this new moon doesn't sound like a moon at all. And I've been tricked into reading a story about us having a new moon. We don't have a new moon. We have a quasi satellite, a near Earth asteroid. So that's my take on it.
I haven't heard anyone so angry about the new moon since the sequel to Twilight dropped.
Very good. I've heard people angry about new moons, but I used to be married to an astrologer, so that's different.
I've heard people angry about new moons, but I used to be married to a werewolf.
Tick. What's yours?
Yeah. What's my take? It sounds like you don't like that this asteroid has like put on a bit of makeup and upgraded itself to a moon. You know, like you feel like you've been tricked.
Yeah, I do. And I realize how you're framing this. But honestly, like, I think if I were to put some makeup on and say, I'm a moon now, I would want people to maybe
pay money for tickets to
your show.
So
you're still John Luke Roberts.
I'm still. Yeah, they say, come on, you're not a moon. You need to stay in touch with reality.
I'm excited. I'm excited to call it a moon. Well, I say that. I mean, it's the size of the Statue of Liberty. So, yeah, we proportionally, how big does it need to be a moon, or does it just need to orbit? These are all questions. I'm going with Moon 2 Lost in New York. That's the official title. But it's the asteroid is called Kamo-Olawela. And it appears to have come from the moon itself. So the moon has given birth. So why are we not talking about that? Basically, the moon has given birth. We want to know, she got a push present. Was there a gender reveal party for the moon, which set off a chain reaction of catastrophic events and left at least one of the other planets in tears? I want to know about the moon giving birth. I feel like not enough has been, you know, and not enough of the coverage has been discussing that the moon has had a baby.
Yeah, I feel we are all agreed that the headline is misleading on this one. I would have gone with a bit fell off the moon.
I would have gone with yeah. baby moon.
Well, but even a bit falling off the moon, that's not that exciting. Over the course of a month, the moon loses most of its mass. We see it. You look up and you see little bits of the moon. They're falling off every night until you've just got a little sliver of it left. Then it all goes. Then a new moon comes along.
This is why crash diets never work. You always put the weight back on.
That's it. Yeah.
Although there is obviously the downside, which I have discussed there's another podcast that's linked to this one that does cover politics. But I have spoken on that before about the idea of two moons. I'm not keen because two periods a month. I'm quite happy to stick with the 28-day. Once every 28 days is enough. I don't want more periods. So let's just say less moons. But, you know, maybe we could just send the moon a card or something and go, hope the birthing process wasn't too rough and we're thinking of you, moon.
Actually, generally, I think sending cards of well wishes to the moon is quite a nice idea. We should just do all the things it gives us, tides.
Metaphors, a lot of metaphors.
Metaphors, yeah, it gives us metaphors, something to look at sometimes.
Songs.
Songs. Yeah.
Yeah, discography for the moon is high. The moon cup, lest we forget.
Mm. I don't think the moon... designed the moon.
Oh, it did. It did. Okay, in the same way that in America it's a diva cup and a diva designed the diva cup. Celine Dion actually invented the, you know, My Heart Will Go On diva cup. The moon was integral in the design of the moon cup. And I will not have this slander on this podcast. Do not try and take away the achievements of the moon.
I'm sorry.
Interesting fact, all moons are girls, all suns are boys. Just an astronomy fact for you.
What are
I know
near
science.
A near
yeah, look
Earth
at you
asteroids.
Trying to take the achievement of a woman away. This is like Rosalind Franklin all over again.
A near-Earth asteroid is a non-binary celestial object. Let's
Okay, fine.
Move on to the ad section. Okay. Your ad section now, because you can't beat what you can't buy. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Feet. Feet, the hands of your legs. Feet, the thing between you and the world. Feet, nobody thinks about them the right amount. And sometimes it's hard to be a woman, but that's why we have half a glass of water. It won't solve patriarchy, but it will sometimes soothe a dry cough. Half a glass of water for when you can't have it all, but you can have half a glass of water.
Your feet advert really had a poetic ending. Like, it left you just in that moment of... I'm still thinking about that. About what the right amount to think about feet is.
And a new novel is out by self-published romance maven and online bestseller Dancy Lagarde. Fertilised in the Billionaire's Garden is second in the sexed-up Dirty Fingers Clean Hearts series of horticultural romances with a supernatural twist. Champion competitive show gardener Heliot Frang swore she'd never get back in the hothouse after one tragic night, but then the guy she hates but can't stop thinking about accepts a gardening duel in her honour. Suddenly, Heliot has to train Foxton Edge, the billionaire boy next door with a killer smile and abs for miles who broke her heart so many years ago. Fox is keeping a dark secret from Heliot, the story that his great uncle ran off with her grandmother who was the gardener on his family estate, and ever since then the grounds have been cursed to alkaline soil. But winning best garden in Heliot's name is his shot at breaking the curse. Will gardening bring these two ex-lovers slash rivals together to turn them into ex-rivals slash lovers and break the family curse? Who'll take whom to bed? Flower bed, that is. Find out. In Fertilised in the Billionaire's Garden. Available now at the back of all tool sheds.
Can I say, also, Who'll Take Whom to Bed is quite a good title for another Dancy Lagarde.
That's a mystery thriller sex fest.
Yeah.
Set in an abandoned country house. I could do this all day.
But it would star a grammarian and... yeah,
It has to be a grammarian and a down on her luck ex martial artist.
Oh yes, lovely, lovely. I hope I get a percentage.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Astrology squid news now. And this is the news that a particular breed of squid, their sex life is determined by their birth month. Tiff Stevenson, as a squid haruspex, can you unpack this story for us?
The squids are out here doing horoscopes. Apparently, according to this article, some squid are destined to become sneaky or aggressive mating partners depending on when they hatched. Or they're more reactive. So, you know, what we know is the squids are getting their fill of Mystic Meg every Tuesday. Squids are going to be aware of when the second moon's in Uranus and Mercury's in retrograde. Apparently, if the squids hatch early in the season between April and mid-July, so they'd grown larger by mating time. They become consorts, which is the squid that fights off rivals to impregnate a female and then guard her when she lays her eggs. So those are the ones in April, that start early April. This is big Taurus energy here, so I just want to point this out. So this is right in Taurus season, stubborn, protective. Squids that hatch later between June and mid-August were typically smaller and became sneakers. Covertly depositing their sperm on the outside of a female near where she lays her eggs in the hope of fertilizing them. So just quickly dipping in there. That's Leo vibes. Yeah, that's Leo vibes. Got to rely on big personality and sass. Those are those
guys. Just leaving this packet of sperm here in case you're interested for later in the evening.
I've dropped off a little packet of So it's linked to when they're born, and the hatching date apparently determines the whole life trajectory in this species, which is, and then it linked to another study, which I knew nothing about, and you guys might know about this, saying that that's why that there's data to suggest that if you're born early in the year, you're more likely to become a professional athlete due to the amount of time you have to prepare and get training to that advantage in terms of when you're born. So I didn't know that was
you're more like, if you're born early in the year, in school selections, you start to think you're a better athlete because you're bigger than the other kids. Yes. By the time selection rolls around, but I just like this in terms of I've never heard that excuse used. I'm sorry, babe, I'm a sneaker squid. I just want somebody being marched out of an R-rated cinema with their hands behind their backs going, I'm a sneaker squid, I can't help it. I needed to deposit a packet of sperm near a female.
Lady Gaga wrote the anthem for sneaker squids, born this way. You know, you just can't help it. Yeah.
There was someone who was like throwing jizz at people around London. This was a couple of years ago. It was a news story that someone was literally lit. I mean, if someone can do it, someone is going to do it, I guess. But it was...
He's
it
called Spider-Man, Tiff, and he's a scientist.
Straight from the wrist. he shoots from the wrist.
I've got to say that it actually gives me some comfort that that's rare enough to be a news story. That's not the London I think I live in.
It's a non-news story. It's just a weather update. Very, with your umbrella.
What's the sperm count for today? Oh, it's high. It's high.
Yeah, what can you take for that? Is antihistamine any good? Or I've just got to put myself in a giant condom. How does that work?
And that brings us to our reviews section. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to review something out of 5 stars. Tiff, what have you brought in for us this week?
Okay, well, I've bought in Selling Sunset. Now, if you don't know this TV show, the plot is it's two tiny bald men surrounded by giant women, and they're building an atom bomb in somewhere called the Oppenheimer Group. And the characters are Heather Crichel, Mary Davina, Christine Amanza, Heather Crichel, Mary. There's also Maya, who's my favourite. Jason, I would like to go to Miami to sell some luxury apartments. Her main storyline is pregnant every season, and she's actually recently left the show. But what it is it's some expensive properties. We never see the buyers. It's mainly a group of women being absolutely toxic to each other, but in Chanel. So it's aspirational. There's actually an episode called Do You Think We're Friends? Which pretty much sums up the entire theme of the show. No notes. 10 out of 10. I know it's 5 out of 5, but I'm giving it 10 out of 10.
So wait, is that episode just they go round to each other saying, do you think we're friends?
It's pretty much versions of that conversation. That's the whole series. The whole thing is basically like, I don't know where you think we're friends, because I'm definitely not your friend, because you said this about Davina and Christina said this about Heather. So that's it. It's basically all of their like staged conversations, and then occasionally it'll cut to an insanely priced property that one of them was up for like 75 million and it didn't get sold. And so that occasionally there's like a bit of real estate thrown in, but it is mainly just staged conversation. I'm obsessed. I love it. I don't know why. I don't know why. I think it makes me feel better about my lack of property in London. Like, I can't get a property in London, so I may as well just watch these like 10 and 15 million dollar properties. you know, for it wouldn't work here as a show. I've worked out that much. We can't have this because it would just be a dude from Foxton's, the two type River Island suit, showing me around a shithole in Archway, and and explaining to me that black mold is actually a design feature. So I don't think it would have quite the same appeal.
And then midway through asking you, do you think we're friends? Do you think we're friends?
How many out of five stars?
Oh, I said 10 out of 10. I know it's out of five, but I'm giving it 10 out of 10. That's how strongly I feel about it.
You do know how fractions work, don't you, Tiff? Because that's the same. That is the same.
But I just like the sound of 10. Yeah. It's a sexier sound. No one's right. bothered about five. Well, apart from during August when we all obsess. I'm gonna say 10 out of 10.
And John Luke, what have you brought in for us today?
I'd like to review hamburgers, or specifically hamburger innovation. I feel like that area has gone stagnant. There has been lots of exploration of the vertical axis and actually the upwards axis. You've got toppings, fan burgers, you've got tower burgers, but nobody has really explored the sideways area of the hamburger. Nobody has explored underneath the hamburger. Nobody's putting ketchup on the bottom. Nobody's putting a sausage hanging out of the hamburger. Or I don't know, you sometimes get sticks in the top with little olives or whatever on them, like club salmon. You could have them coming out the side. So that then there's a challenge in navigating the cocktail sticks to eat the hamburger. You could, why not put a pizza in a hamburger? So you have the hamburger in the middle and then the pizza hanging out. So you get to work your way through it. What I'm saying is the hamburger used to be very exciting space. We need some more hamburger disruptors. So this is my challenge to the world out there, to come on, get off your chairs, get out there and make hamburgers special again. So I'd like to give hamburger innovation 2 as a sort of boot up the arse.
Can I ask a question? And I'm sure this might be something that you guys have the answer to. But why do we call them hamburgers instead of beef burgers? Is it an American thing? Because there's no ham in the hamburger, is there?
I think it's a beef burger. They're meant to have been from Hamburg, is it not? Like,
no.
Like Kennedy.
No. There was this.
He went around saying he was different kinds of meat, wasn't it?
No, that's a common misconception. There was a criminal, a career criminal, in America who was stealing these things, and his name was Hamburglar. So. They just reverse engineered it from that and said, right. Well, he's not stealing ham, is he? He's stealing ham. Oh, I guess we can call them hamburgers. That's where it came from. Yeah.
Bee's news now, and this is the news that a little girl believed there was a monster in her bedroom and her parents told her that she was being an idiot and to shut the f*** up, and it turns out it was 60,000 bees. So now her parents have to shut the f*** up. It's the law. John Luke, you worship a queen. Can you unpack this story for us?
Jinx Monsoon, she's absolutely brilliant. So little girl, I feel so sorry for parents. You've basically, in North Carolina, a little girl kept saying, oh, I've got, there's monsters in my cupboard. There's monsters in the walls. And monsters in the walls, that's creepier than in the cupboards, right? And the parents are like, oh, no, there's not. She's just watched Monsters, Inc. There's monsters in that. She's got confused. Just like after you watch Finding Nemo, you then say, oh, there's fish in my cupboard. But they they said, no, look here, have this little spray so you can spray the monsters away if they come out of your night. And then it turned out, yeah, there was a hive of 60,000 bees in that wall. 60,000 bees, which she was hearing every night. And then they got people in. They're not insured for it because... pests are seen as preventable. It's a very sad story. It's also quite funny. The worst thing about it, I think the right parenting technique is probably to say, oh, don't look, it's scary, but they're not really monsters, is to not take it seriously. And then even though you've done it right, you've ended up traumatizing your child because there were things in that wall.
This kid's like, you're gaslighting me.
Exactly.
Why are you gaslighting me?
How could you ever trust a grown-up again?
I am never going to fall for this. Any time that any of my children decide that there are monsters in the wall, I'm immediately going to take a crowbar to the walls.
No, Alice, this is just a different trauma. I couldn't say a single thing to Mummy or she'd smash the wall with a crowbar.
they removed 65,000 bees, and it says, because she was complaining like that the insurance wasn't going to cover it, but they said they removed 65,000 bees and 100 pounds or 45 kilos of honeycomb. Now, complaining about it costing money, 45k of honeycomb, that is a few grand down the farmer's market, easy. Just pop down there on a Sunday and sell that, I reckon. I love bees because I like the fact that bees sting you, then they die, and it's so dramatic and Shakespearean. And wasps are just like real housewives. You know, look at me, I'm skinnier, and I'm going to keep zapping you and being loud for fucking ever, or 1 year, however long wasps live. I don't know how long they live. I've not made it my business to find out about the wasps. I just don't like them.
Yeah, bees seem to have a real life representation of guilt built in. They do you harm and then immediately, like, oh no, well, what have I...
All bees are Buddhists, I think. And that brings us to our final story of today. This is the news that if you've ever been creeped out by those Boston Dynamics-style robo-dogs that sort of leap about and are meant to be charming but inevitably bring to mind the fact that they are definitely 100% going to be used in combat... If that's ever worried you, good news, now they're on fire. This is the future of fire delivery, according to Ohio pyromaniac fire company delivery. Throw Flame.
Fire delivery. Like we needed a future for fire delivery. Who was looking for, who was thinking, oh, you know what would be nice to have delivered? Fire.
Have you gone on the apps? How far are Uber Eats with my fire?
Well, yeah, they can only do it for quite a short distance, otherwise the whole car goes up.
I mean, I just love the marketing pitch on this. This quadruped is coupled with the ARC flamethrower to deliver on-demand fire anywhere.
They've called it the Terminator. The Terminator. So you've got to give them points for the pun, but also it's something straight out of Thunderdome. Like, it's so mad. When is the Terminator going to get its own movie like Furiosa has? It's terrifying because every time I've started associating the word Boston with just like bad things. So any of us like Boston.
Wahlbergs and flamethrower dogs. Is that it?
The Frasier reboot.
Yeah, it's just terrifying because just hearing the words Boston Dynamic, it should be exciting. Dynamic, it's got the words there in the title, but I know it's going to be some absolute nightmare fuel of a robot or an animal. Like it is like an episode of Black Mirror. You know, I think they had those dogs in an episode of Black Mirror. So it's just like, how soon before they become, you know, self-aware, that they go full Skynet, which I have worried about in the past in my own life. Like, I once had a shit that was so big I was worried it was going to immediately become self-aware. I call that a Skynet poo. That's what I call that.
Did another poo come back from the future to warn you?
To warn me. Yes, it wouldn't flush, it kept coming back up. So I feel like, you know, the storyline's playing out. And I'm afraid.
I think the scariest thing about this is how off the proportions are to me, because it can throw flames 30 feet, so 9.1 meters of flame throwing range, but it lasts only an hour. And I feel like the proportions are off. It should last for 9 hours and be able to throw flames 1 meter or something. It just doesn't feel correct that it should be able to throw 9 meters of flames and yet after 60 minutes it gives up on life, you know?
It does work on Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, so that's...
That's good.
That's good to know.
You don't need to have a wired connection.
It's compatible with... You compare it with your car stereo.
I just don't know.
It's,
like...
it's available to the general public for $9,000, which is expensive, but too cheap.
Yeah, it's not enough.
It's not prohibitively expensive enough, gosh. Is it? You know, the new... is it Apple glasses? You know, the VR things out, they're like $3,000. I'm like, it's not prohibitively expensive enough. It should be like $50,000 for one of these, $500,000. I don't know.
Although actually, also now we talk it through, I'm not sure that just having a lot of money should be what allows you to own this thing.
Yeah, that's when I started putting it up and then went, oh yeah, this is
No, you've got to. There's got to be laws. You've got to have federal regulations.
All flamethrowers are federally unregulated in the US. So
Which sounds deliberate, right? Somebody made that choice. It wasn't just an oversight. They went, "Nah, I'll be fine. Let them have them. Let them have flamethrowers."
I feel like flamethrowers are a thing that you ought to have a license because it's not like a leaf blower. You know, it's not.
No.
Well, they're the two sides. It's like the Sharks and the Jets in West Side Story. You know, the
leaf blowers the leaf and the flamethrowers.
Yeah, versus the flamethrower. Or actually, water guns, big fire hoses. This could be the battle that no one saw coming, and you've got to pick a side, Alice. Fire or air.
The worry with the leaf blower is you end up just sort of fanning the flames to make it worse.
But it does look prettier momentarily.
It does look. It's lovely, and it's nice to think like you, it appeals to the like. I've got the primordial like I make flame. The company's called Throw Flame, which I think for a company which shows such little like just any originality or thought going into that, I don't think they should be allowed to make these things. It's like having a company called Mower Lawn or or Paste Tooth. You know, try a bit harder. Pack Back. Ointment Hemorrhoids.
And that brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ads at the back of the magazine. Tiff, have you got anything to plug?
I'm going to plug my Edinburgh Fringe show because I've done this radical thing this year that I don't have a promoter, I'm not paying for PR. I want to do this like really edgy, I want to make money. So I'm at the Monkey Barrel at midday and I'm very excited and the show's called Husband Material because I think I'm husband material, but I also have husband material. I also want to wear my husband's skin like a suit, so that's husband material as well. So if that interests you, come see the show. Midday at Monkey Barrel, and I'm very excited.
And Jean-Luc, have you got anything to plug?
Yes, husband material at 12 every day. Tiff's paying me a little bit of money to do some PR. She's got this whole. We've come up with this PR concept where we pretend we're not doing PR, but it's really smart. No, my podcast Soundteep is going out all the time, please listen to Soundteep. It's a podcast of too many podcasts. It's loads of different people improvising made up podcasts, and then I build a kind of world around it. We've just done an episode all about Shrek fishing, which is when men trick women into dating them by pretending to be playing Shrek in the touring production of the musical Shrek. But also, I'm sending out a newsletter every week with like a new bit of poetry or short story or something like that on it. And I would love if people would sign up. That's free. It's on Substack. It's called Wordings. And my name is Jean-Luc Roberts, so you can find it that way.
Wonderful. And you can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. If you go there now, you could sign up to my week-long writer's retreat in Switzerland, which will be happening in August, September of this year. Ooh. It will be a week in Switzerland if we get enough people who want to go along. So go in and fill in the Google form, which is in our most recent thing at patreon.com/AliceFraser. If you don't want to come to Switzerland, you can just come to the Zoom meetings there every week. And we're doing that at the moment. You can sign up for $1 a month, but at the end of this month, there will be no more $1 a month subscription. And if you want to support me financially, you have to pay more money to do it. So if you want to join up and support me for $1 a month, you've got a month to do that at patreon.com/AliceFraser. And this is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. And I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.